grace and peace in the name of Jesus, our bridegroom, and we are his bride, and oh, how he loves us. Amen. Our text is the miracle at Cana, John 2. We pray, Lord, your word is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. May it shine brightly upon us and teach us and strengthen our faith and give us understanding today that we know your great, great love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, are you a bit nervous today? Scared? Uptight? The gospel lesson probably makes us all a little bit uptight, a little bit nervous, a little bit scared. You ask, well, why would that be, Pastor? It's a wonderful gospel, a wedding. He makes the water turn to wine. Why would I be nervous? Because the gospel lesson's about change. And how many of us love change? Especially us hardcore Lutherans, we don't like change a whole lot. Oh no, don't change anything, Jesus. But we need not be afraid or uptight. The changes Jesus brings are wonderful and needed. Change, Jesus, change things, change me. That's our prayer from this gospel lesson. John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, at the end of the story, tells us this was the first sign that Jesus did. The word sign there means something that points beyond itself. The obvious is that Jesus can change water to wine. He's powerful. He's God. But there's something more here. And that's what the Spirit's trying to tell us. Read the sign. There's something more here in the miracle than the obvious. And what exactly is that? Jesus changes things. What's he here to change? Water to wine? Well, there are three great changes that he would bring that are needed, that are wonderful. We praise him for. First of all, this miracle would teach us that Jesus has come to change the adequate into the amazing. To change what is okay into superabundance. Now, where is that? Well, I'm really talking about the difference of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that's a big part of this first miracle, that Jesus fulfills the Old Testament and brings about great change from the Old Testament that's needed and wonderful and amazing. Well, first of all, they have no wine. They're at a wedding. All looks pretty good, but they have no wine. They've ran out. And that sort of reminds us of the Old Testament, that everything seems to be going okay, but they really don't have wine. They don't have joy, and there's not salvation because the Savior hasn't come yet. They were saved, but the Savior hasn't come yet. There's not the great joy. We have no wine. We're kind of left empty and longing. That's the Old Testament, because Jesus hasn't come yet. And then you have six stone jars that Jesus tells the servants to fill up with water. And the six stone jars make us think of the Old Testament. Six, a number for mankind, a number of incompletion, of imperfection. Man was made on the sixth day, but seven is God's number. That's the Old Testament. It leaves us longing. We're not perfect, and not everything's the way it should be yet, because the Savior hasn't come yet. And the water is used for Jewish purification, we read there. Reminds us of all the Jewish laws, the washings they had to try to keep themselves clean all the time, before you eat, after you eat. They had to wash to be clean. And then beyond that, of course, all the temple worship. We had to recall all the sacrifices and sacrifices and sacrifices, blood and blood all over the temple to try to remain clean and pure. Bring an animal, sacrifice an animal, do it again and do it again and do it again and then do it again. And the priesthood running around doing their thing. And God's behind the curtain. We can't even get close to God. He hides behind that curtain back there. We can't get closer. We die. And then all the Levitical laws about what you can eat and can't eat. Can I touch that or not touch that? It's very old. And all that was adequate. It was okay. It got the people by and they were saved. Much like drinking water at the wedding would be okay. If the people had 100 gallons of water to drink, that'd be okay. At least I have something to wash down the food with. Water, be fine. I'll have water. It's okay. But who here goes to a wedding wanting to drink water? Come on. The Old Testament's adequate. The sacrifices are okay, the washings are okay, the laws are okay to kind of get us by for a little while. But then Jesus comes along. He is the New Testament. He's the fulfillment. He turns the water into wine. And wine in the Bible is always a symbol of not that which is adequate, but wine's a symbol of amazing abundance, of super joy, of feasting, partying, celebration, victory, salvation, not just getting by, but abundant feasting and joy. There's a difference, isn't there? And of course, all the wine he makes here points forward to the blood that he will shed. The blood that we drink in with and under the wine today. It's his blood he's really talking about here. And his blood will flow from the cross, and that blood will give us new joy and new life and new peace and eternal life. And we'll feast forever because he shed his blood for us. He can do a whole lot more than just make water into wine. How's that going to save anybody? He's come to shed his blood that we drink it. And that'll save everybody who eats his body and drinks his blood. So the sacrifices of the Old Testament are adequate. But the sacrifice of Jesus is amazing. The washings of the Old Testament are okay. But the washing of holy baptism he gives is amazing. Abundance of the Holy Spirit and salvation. The Passover meal and the other meals of the Old Testament, they were okay. But the Lord's Supper is amazing. The flesh and blood of my Savior and eternal life and resurrection and immortality given here. Now that's amazing. I'll live forever. You know, we have a problem. I read where in America, 89% of people believe in God. 90%, let's say, believe in God. Good. 9 out of 10 people believe in a God. But 65% of those people say that God's not important to them. So 90%, 9 out of 10 believe there's a God, but 2 out of 3 say this God's not very important to me. He doesn't matter to my life. And that is sad. We have a job to do in this country, in this world, in our neighborhood, in our workplace. That's to tell people the importance of our God. Our God does amazing things. The importance of his birth, the importance of the cross, the importance of the resurrection, the importance of holy baptism, the importance of holy communion, the importance of the proclaimed gospel, the importance of the Christian church, of why we're here wasting our time, is that what we're doing on a Sunday morning? The importance of this for life and salvation and peace and joy that we really live. And somehow we got to communicate that and preach that and show that by how we live, that this matters. God's not up there somewhere and who cares? But God is here. Jesus was there at the wedding. He's here and he gives life and joy. We got to tell people, you want an amazing life? Not just an adequate get-by life, but an amazing, superabundant life? Trust in Jesus and follow Jesus. He secondly changes fear into faith. He changes doubt into certainty. And there no doubt is a lot of fear and doubt at this wedding when they have no wine. You can imagine the panic and the fear of the bridegroom, the bride, their family. They've invited people. They've invited Jesus, we read. And they have a nice little crowd there. And they've run out of wine. This is an embarrassment. This is shameful. It was a sacred duty of hospitality to have wine. Come on. And they've run out. This is a wedding disaster, friends. They have failed the people. They have failed miserably. They're going to get a bad reputation. There's that couple that got married. Remember they didn't have any wine? Ha, ha, ha. You have any wine today in your house? Can we stop over since we didn't have any at your wedding? It's a failure. And they're afraid and scared and they're very sad. And today as we sit in God's house, may we confess we've failed a lot of people. Maybe not because we didn't have wine or beer at a wedding. That's really not all that important, is it? And maybe we have failed our family, failed our spouse, failed coworkers and children and parents in miserable ways. And we feel like I'm an embarrassment. I'm ashamed of myself for what I've done. I have sinned and broken God's laws, and I've failed people. You afraid, guilt-ridden, a lot of regret, you've let people down. Jesus comes on the scene. He's at the wedding. He's at the church today. He's in here today. And when Jesus comes with his mercy and grace, he turns fear into faith. Notice the faith that Jesus instills in the hearts of people in this story. The great faith. We read at the end of the story, the result is the disciples believed in him. This is what Jesus wants. The disciples believe in him. They have faith. He's instilled faith. This Jesus can do it. And then the faith of Mary. Oh, the faith of Mary, his mother. Do whatever he tells you. Mary believes my son can take care of the problem. Leave it to my son. Yes, this is great faith. Mary doesn't probably know exactly how. She doesn't see yet. She just says, do whatever he tells you. I believe in my son. And the faith of the servants, they fill the jars with water. They're probably giggling. We're going to give water to people now at the wedding. And then they take it to the people. This is faith. Because they're going to look foolish going around. Hey, would you like a glass of water, William? Here's water. They have faith that something miraculous is going to happen. And the people have faith. And they drink it. There's faith all over because Christ is there to give faith. I can take care of any problem. You know, the other day I was in my little office at home. It was late at night, probably around 10 o'clock. And I hear my beloved wife yell out, oh no! Something wrong, honey? What's wrong? Obama is talking. It was the State of the Union address. Oh no! Another politician! She went and turned on the TV and that's what was on about every channel. And it's okay when you listen to Obama or Trump or Hillary or whoever you're listening to say, oh no, another politician! And maybe turn it off if you want to. I don't care. But when Jesus speaks, we don't say, oh no. We say, amen. And say that with me. Amen. He says, fill up the jars. He says that they fill up this empty person. Fill them up with my forgiveness. Amen. Fill them up with my love. Amen. Fill them up with salvation. Amen. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fill them with faith. Amen. He says it. He does it. He changes fear into faith. We believe in him. He can fix any problem. This happens on the third day. First thing I read. On the third day, there's a problem. There's no wine. He fixes the problem. On the third day, he bestows a miracle. This foreshadows Easter. The real third day, when there will not only be no wine, there's no Savior on the third day. Jesus is dead. He's gone. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the Lord, and he's gone. Where's it all at? He rises again and says, I'm back. And bestows salvation and forgiveness upon his church. And we say, what? Amen. I believe it's true. And last of all, he changes the last into the first. Cana. His first great miracle is in Cana? Really, Jesus? Why not Jerusalem? Where there's actually some people, people live there. Why not Rome? Some big city in front of the important people. Cana? A little dinky town up in Galilee that's hardly anybody lived there. His first great sign. And we have disciples mentioned. We don't know which disciples are there. We don't know who the bride and groom are. No names. We don't know who the servants are. No names. The crowd, no names. We have Mary's name. There is Mom, the only name we have. A bunch of nameless, insignificant people, an insignificant wedding, and an insignificant place. And that's where the Son of God comes to do his first great sign. And that's just the point. With Jesus, the last shall be first. The humble shall be exalted. Nobodies become somebodies with Jesus. The bride and groom matter to Jesus. They don't matter to anybody else. Everybody's mad at them. They don't have any wine. They matter to Jesus. The family matters to Jesus. His mom matters to him. The servants matter. That little town matters. You matter to Jesus. You count. We're not trash. We're a treasure. A royal diadem, we read. A treasure to God. That's what we are. Nobodies who have become somebodies. You know, a world record was set, I read this week. A man set the world record on how many credit cards he obtained. You know how many credit cards he obtained? This is the world record. How many credit cards do you have? Not my business. He had 1,497 credit cards. He used one. And asked, why in the world, fella, do you have 1,497 credit cards? He said, I like to see my name on a card. There's a lonely man. There's a man that somehow wants to be important. He wants his name recognized. My name written somewhere. That's what I'm hearing. We need to grab that fella nicely and say, to be important, you don't have to have your name on 1,497 credit cards that'll run you into huge debt. Your name is written in heaven. It's called baptism. Our name is written by God Himself in heaven in the book of life. We get a new name. I'm a Christian. I bear the name of Jesus. I'm His forever. That's what makes us important. God called me in the water. God feeds me today. God forgives me today. God loves me every day. He is my bridegroom. My name is written in heaven. You think you're a nobody, you're wrong. You think no one cares, you're wrong. You're insignificant, you're wrong. God loves you. God loves you. He died for you. He rose again for you. You matter. All heaven rejoiced when you were baptized. And all heaven rejoices that you are present here today at the wedding feast called the church. Don't ever forget it. Nobody cares out there, Pastor. I know that hurts. But someone really important cares in here. His name is Jesus. Change. So who likes change now? What great changes Jesus brings. The adequate into the amazing. Fear to faith. The last to be first. Oh, Jesus, continue to bring about these changes. Amen. We stand. May the peace of God, which transforms all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.